Hello and welcome to an InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast recorded February 17th, 2009. Great to be back on the podcast. After a couple weeks away, we had some technical issues with our software that we used. We've got some new software, new recording, and hope to be better than ever. And of course, that all starts with the quality of the contributors, and we'll welcome them now. Starting in the East, Hockey East senior writer Jeff Howe. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing, Gladdy?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Happy birthday, Michael Jordan.
Happy birthday, Michael Jordan, and happy birthday, Jim Brown, as well, here on February 17th. Oh, no, you didn't go to Carolina. Sorry.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, neither did I, so.
Right. That's what I said. Also, Mike Eidelbus.
What's that guy said? Over there.
Inch editor and columnist. How are you, Mike?
Not bad. Happy birthday, Taylor Hawkins, drummer from the Foo Fighters.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to Taylor Hawkins. And also on board tonight, WCHA senior writer Jess Myers. Hello, Jess.
Hi, and I don't really have any birthday greetings except Abraham Lincoln, I guess, the big 200. So for those of you who got a day off on Monday, thank Honest Abe, our pal from Illinois.
Yeah, we got another guy from Illinois in now, too. It's great.
That's right.
Any other Illinois presidents between those two?
Reagan was born in Illinois, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Dixon, Illinois. Lived there for a while.
Excuse me? What? Your what's where?
That's what she said. Okay.
I rented that this weekend, by the way.
had to go behind that little curtain in the video store.
Or? Yeah.
All right. Glad to see we haven't lost the fun flavor of the Inch podcast while we're on sabbatical. I'm making more crude, inappropriate jokes. Jeff, let's start in the East, and the last time we spoke was before the Bean Pot. Of course, now it's a week later after the Bean Pot. No surprise in the long run that Boston University came away with another championship. Certainly, they're playing like the number one team in the country right now, and there's really no debating that. Notre Dame could have an argument, I suppose. But what about BU, and also what about the other teams that came out of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, first of all, BU just absolutely reaffirmed on a national stage that it is the best team in the country, at least right now, and there's no weakness. I mean, I know I said it the last time I was on here, whenever it was, that they have a number of extremely talented forwards who can put the puck in the net, and they have a great balance among their forward lines, too. Their defense is just stacked. I mean, there's just... Their line combinations are perfect for each other. They've got six guys, whoever the six guys who are dressing on any given night, are all solid. You really don't see much of a weakness there. There isn't, you know, five good guys and then one wild card that you hope that he has a good game. I mean, they're thorough all the way through those three lines. And then Kara Milan is just fantastic in net. He's so calm, and he's always in the right spot. He plays like a senior, and I mean, he's only a freshman. It's a lot like John Muse last year, but you kind of wondered, I guess, turning into January, if Karen Milan was good enough, or if Grant Rollheiser would be good enough during the stretch run, because they were both freshmen, and I don't even think that's a question in anybody's mind right now. I mean, it's just all through all three positions there. It's a very, very solid team. Northeastern, I think, proved that it can play with anybody. I don't know if it's a good enough team to... right now I wouldn't say they're good enough to make a national championship run, but the fact that they're going to be in the national tournament is huge for that program, no matter where they end up finishing. Love the way they play. They've got a few pretty talented goal scorers. Hasn't always been the case, at least since Cronin got here. I mean, they've always played hard. They've always had pretty solid goaltending and pretty good defense, but you've never known if there was a guy like a Ginand or a McLeod or a Vitali who, I mean, they've been there, but they haven't been as good as they are this year. And then BC is a team that just needs a lot of work, and I mean, you saw it again last weekend when they lost 6-0 Lowell, that's a team that is going to have to do a lot to get itself into the national tournament.
You know, I want to go back to a point you made about Northeastern, and something I've always believed in is you have to be in big games before you can win them.
Yes.
And this year, I mean, talk about how this sets up, not only the teams they've played, but also the situations they've played in. You know, Thanksgiving weekend they played Princeton, very good team. Both of those teams are going to the national tournament in a mostly empty rink in Troy, New York, you know, which could, you know, mimic another big game. You know, good teams, say if they get the early game in Grand Rapids, you know. Like, there's not going to be a lot of Princeton Northeastern fans at that game. You know, then you go at Christmas time and they play at Minnesota on the big ice against the Gophers in a championship game. You know, of course, it's a holiday tournament championship. But again, they're in that situation in a more hostile environment. And then they get kind of a true neutral site game with, you know, I watched on Ness and Rook, but you could probably 50-50 fan support or close to it for the BU Northeastern game.
Every neutral fan was a Northeastern fan that night. I mean, it was the BU fans are always have the best fan base at the Garden, no matter what, and they're always going to be kind of a force in the crowd. But it was a pretty good following. I'd say maybe 70% were following or were cheering for Northeastern.
Well, good. You know, so that, then they also the point being they get exposed to that too.
Right.
Where you know if they end up in Manchester, you know you're going to see something like that. So. I think those three games just really stand out as great preparation, you know, and they're going to get exposed to that again, you know, in the Hockey East tournament, barring a first-round collapse, which I do not foresee happening.
Right, and taking that one step further, and I wrote about it a lot around the Bean Pod, is that the first Monday night, they came out, and Greg Cronin said that they were nervous, and they played nervous, and they were acting nervous on the bench, and everybody knew it. And they still were able to overcome that, beat Boston College pretty thoroughly. And then the second Monday in the championship game, they didn't come out flat. They didn't come out nervous. They had the confidence. They knew they belonged on that stage playing for the Beanpot Championship, which is a huge deal in Boston. I mean, I know we've got listeners all over the place who kind of laugh it off and say it's the Beanpot. It's no big deal. It is a very big deal to these four schools. And that type of a pressure situation will be invaluable for Northeastern going into the tournament because it's not a team that has any tournament history. I mean, they've had three NCAA tournament appearances. The last one, I think, was in 94. So these are obviously a lot of kids who have no idea what it's like to be playing in a pressure-packed playoff situation.
Okay, let's shift things back toward the Midwest and Notre Dame and Michigan, Miami. Bus, we've got those three teams, 2, 3, 4 in the Inch Power Rankings this week. All of them have shown to be very good at times. Notre Dame probably most consistently, Miami most, you know, impressively and discouragingly, you know, at times. They've had the highest highs and the lowest lows, I think, of those three teams. And Michigan is just a team I wouldn't bet against right now. They've really got it going.
Yeah, there's no question that these three teams have established themselves. You know, I would maybe draw a line of demarcation maybe between Notre Dame and Michigan and put them a little bit above Miami, just because we've seen a little bit more of the ups and downs from the Red Hawks. You know, especially that they had that 5-game losing streak there in January that. Was a real head scratcher in a lot of ways, but they've come back strong out of that, and you know they're right in the thick of things, a couple points behind Notre Dame in the standings. You know, Miami kind of ascended to number 4 this week in our rankings. You know, it was a little bit by default because you know Northeastern was ahead of them, they lost. Vermont was ahead of them, they lost.
Cornell and Denver.
Cornell lost. Denver lost. Denver tied, I should say. So, you know, when I look at the rankings, I kind of look at the, you know, you got the top three there, and then there's a little bit of a drop-off. And I kind of, you know, you kind of group that, you know, those teams that we mentioned from Miami on down to maybe about Denver, Princeton, you know, you get into that 9-10 area. You know, it seems like we've got those three at the top, and then we kind of settle a little bit. You know, looking at it from a CCHA standpoint, I mean, after those three, You know, that's really about it. Ohio State, they were looking good and then had a tough weekend this past weekend in Michigan State. You know, they're borderline right now. I think that, you know, Nebraska-Omaha has fallen off the pace. Alaska just doesn't score enough and, you know, to be a real consistent threat. You know, it's kind of just, it's really amazing when you look at this league how top-heavy it is. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's it for the CCHA. I mean, it's going to be these three teams in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, it's funny to think or, you know, interesting to think that, you know, you can easily project all three of these teams into the Frozen Four. It wouldn't surprise anybody.
Well, I think that's a point we can make, you know. We talked about Northeastern. We talked about those three CCHA teams. Even the WCHA teams are going to get in, Wisconsin, Denver, North Dakota, most notably Minnesota, probably next in the line for that. Of all the, I just mentioned, I think 10 teams, and any of those teams, I wouldn't be surprised if they won twice. You know? And I also wouldn't be surprised if they lost 6-1. So you've got those regional games are going to be something else. I'll have my eye on which teams and coaches and leadership groups among teams, which senior veterans, those kinds of guys, even marquee younger players like a Gerby last year maybe. Who's gonna get ready to play in those big games? Who's gonna be a difference maker?
Well, I think you kind of saw a little bit of that with Notre Dame this weekend. You know, they split down at Ohio State and were really lucky to win the Friday game. I mean, it was an amazing ending to that game a couple weekends ago where they score with literally a second on the clock and then score, you know, less than a minute into the overtime to win. But they, you know, a couple big injuries in that game. Christian Hansen, their leading goal scorer basically the entire season, went down with a concussion in that game. And then Ryan Thang, who obviously we've sung the praises of numerous times.
He's my favorite player to watch on that team for sure.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player.
He makes the list of guys you pay money to go to the rink to see.
Yeah, and he was obviously great. I mean, you remember the shorthanded goal from last year's Frozen Four against Michigan. He got hurt with a high ankle sprain in the same game, and, you know, he's out probably until the CCHA quarterfinals. Michigan's kind of gaining a little steam. Miami's still hanging around there, and, you know, what looked not that long ago as, you know, a Notre Dame cakewalk to a regular season title all of a sudden became a little bit more tenuous. And then, Northern Michigan comes into South Bend last weekend. They've been playing a lot better over the second half of the season. And then Eric Condra, you know, being the senior that he is, takes over and puts up a 5-point night on Northern, and they win, and Notre Dame wins 9-5. So, I would say of the three that they're the most consistent. I'm almost ready to ink. And I know a lot of stuff can happen between now and the time the Frozen Four rolls around, but you know, BU and Notre Dame seem to be the class of the nation. Yeah. I would maybe Michigan a little bit behind them. I don't think they're quite as deep and quite as solid as BU and Notre Dame.
Now, one thing that you and I said, we were putting together the Inch Power Rankings, I said, you know what? I go, can we just cancel the NCAA tournament and have BU and Notre Dame play a 7-game series? You know, here's the deal. Here's my plan. Games 1 and 2, we play at Manchester and Bridgeport, one game each. Then you take the next weekend, and you play in Grand Rapids and Minneapolis, games 3 and 4. And then we all go down to D.C. for games 5, 6, and 7, if necessary.
And if can we go to D.C. anyway?
Even if they're not necessary.
Absolutely.
Let's just play them.
Yeah, let's play them. Yeah, do like Summit Series or whatever. Yeah, just
there you go.
Play them out. Jess Myers, we talked about just now CCHA, and I think the characteristic that I see from those teams, Miami, Notre Dame, Michigan, is that they want to win the thing. You know, they're making a run.
Yep.
Does anybody in the WCHA want to win?
Absolutely not.
It's the McNaughton Curse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been writing about this ad nauseum, but it's clearly a three-team race. Not exactly the three teams we may have expected early in the season.
Three teams with healthy legs in this race.
Yeah. yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Wisconsin obviously is the and I wrote about this last week, but that's got to be the biggest surprise coming from where they were on Halloween night when they were at 0-6-1 and to have put things together as well as they have. And, you know, with that said, you know, I don't know if you would trust this Wisconsin team to do much beyond the regular season just because there's still that kind of inherent inconsistency in their game. You know, Jamie McBain has established himself as, you know, probable Hobie, you know, top 10 guy and can completely take over games and is incredibly talented. But then you look at his numbers, and I think, you know, they don't publicize this, obviously, but I think he's still a minus for the season just because he's on the ice so much and has to do so much for that team. Shane Connolly looked brilliant a couple weeks ago in Minneapolis and really held the Badgers into probably a game and a half where they were completely outplayed, completely dominated by Minnesota. And yet, you know, I don't know if he's a guy that you can count on every night to steal a game for you. So that's Wisconsin. North Dakota has gone, you know, from way back as well. They were three games under 500 going into December and they've taken over the league lead now. I'm sure we're getting plenty of email about that, but that's fun to see. I mean, some of that young talent has finally stepped up and guys like Che Genaway, who, you know, we knew was a great player. He's right now their leading scorer. He's got two goals on the season, but he's got some, you know, ridiculous number of assists. So he's the leading scorer from the blue line. Ryan Duncan, who, you know, we always forget, but still has a Hobie to his credit. I think he has 13 goals or something like that now. So they've really stepped up. And then you can't ever count Denver out of the mix, especially, you know, late in the season. And that's the big series this weekend. Denver goes to Wisconsin. George Gwozdecki, the Wisconsin alum, always has his team playing well at the Kohl Center. And now, you know, it may be kind of a do-or-die thing. So fun weekend in Madison, as always.
Good to see Joel Colburn against CC on Friday night. Played great.
He's really picked it up over the second half.
You got to expect that. He's 18, 19 years old. You know?
Yeah, no question. You know, the other thing that I think about in terms of the WCHA and especially kind of that heading into this weekend with the Denver-Wisconsin dynamic, can you imagine the Badgers having Patrick Weirkosh playing for them on that blue line? I mean,
Kyle Turris.
Well,
hey, let's not get into that.
There's that, but you know, Weirkosh was supposed to go to Wisconsin starting next season as a freshman.
And it was like late July when we got the word that he had
switched
time zones and was heading for Denver.
Well, it was right around the time that I think it was basically kind of the trickle-down when David Carl.
Yeah.
David Carl found out
right.
He couldn't play. Denver all of a sudden had a need, and they brought in Weirkosh. And, you know, here the kid's got something like 25, 26 points and double digits and goals, and, you know, he's been phenomenal. I just think, you know, I think about, you know, you could have him and McBain and, you know, just – I mean, we know what Wisconsin's blue line is like as far as the talent.
Gardner and they're so deep on defense.
And you know, going back to the McBain, the point that you made about his plus minus, I think the last time I looked, and obviously they were off last weekend, so it hasn't changed. He is a minus -9, and as you said, he plays. And I mean, he plays. He's probably pushing 27, 28 minutes a game
right.
For his time on ice. But you go back to that losing streak that they started the season, winless in their first seven, I think it was. He was minus 13 So, you know, 7 games into the season, he's minus 13. So for him to get to minus 9 based on that start is, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's an interesting series. There are actually a number of interesting series in the WCHA this weekend. When you look at, you know, North Dakota, as great as they've played, they have to make the trip to Anchorage now. They split a series early in the season with Anchorage in Grand Forks. So, you know, those are not 4 automatic points right there. Minnesota going to Colorado College, you know, 2 months ago, you would pencil that one in, or 3 months ago, maybe, you'd pencil that one in as, you know, whoever wins that series wins the WCHA. Now it's, you know, whoever loses that series is probably going on the road for the playoffs. Because those are two teams just in desperate need of points at this point in the year. And you mentioned it in the power rankings, guys. Minnesota Duluth all of a sudden has what's looking like a pretty favorable schedule as far as getting home ice. They go to Michigan Tech for a pair this weekend. That is the only thing, by the way, that's wrapped up in the WCHA. Michigan Tech has clinched 10th place. They cannot catch anyone. They will be going to play whoever the eventual number one seed is. So, good weekend.
Yeah, yeah. North Dakota, 7-8-2 away from the Ralph this year. That's something I just can't get away from. I don't know why.
Yep.
That counts 0-3 in neutral site games.
Yeah, the one thing I can't get away from, just in the WCHA in general, is just, you know, you look at this clump of evenly matched teams, and we might as well throw St. Cloud in there, too. But just, you know, you go down the list, and each one of them, just how it's kind of like the anti-BU. You know, BU is solid in every facet. And you look at these teams and the standings in the WCHA, and you're kind of trying to think to yourself, you know, who's going to emerge from this pack? And you think, well, maybe it's North Dakota. They're kind of hot. But then or Wisconsin's been on a roll. But there's just something, you know, you find this flaw that you just can't get past with every one of those teams.
It kind of reminds me of when you're setting up like a video game hockey team, you know, and you pick your strength, you know, like whether you have a great shot or great speed, but you only have so many, you know, points you can allot to any one area. So you know, like, oh, Wisconsin, we'll be crazy good on defense, but then we're going to be inconsistent in goal, and we're going to have some question marks, you know, scoring. You know, North Dakota, we're going to be immensely talented, but we're going to be young, and we're going to take, you know, 2-3 months to figure out our goaltending situation.
Yeah, I mean, and you go right down the line. Minnesota, you know.
That team has got to be better.
Well, and that's what I was kind of getting to, is they took 3 points last weekend against Alaska Anchorage, and obviously Anchorage is, you know, a fairly decent team, but.
Yeah, they're good.
For all the talent that Minnesota has, there's something's wrong there. I don't know what it is.
They'd beat the Islanders, I think.
Well.
I don't know. Whatever.
The Islanders are getting relegated to the AHL, I heard.
Yeah.
But
The upcoming, since we're on the WCHA topic, I just want to throw this out. The upcoming game I didn't mention, Tuesday night, the Battle of the Mavericks, Minnesota State travels to Nebraska-Omaha. Now, we talked a little bit about
Tuesday
Omaha
night in February.
On a Tuesday night in February. Hey, what else would you rather do? Seriously.
Oh,
on a Tuesday night in February in Nebraska.
Inch podcast.
College hockey, baby.
There you go.
Interestingly enough, we talked about Omaha a couple weeks ago about are they staying, are they going, are they interested in the WCHA? How's that all gonna shake out? I have a hunch that there is going to be a renewed effort among WCHA types to get Omaha to apply for membership. And the reason of that is you need 8 votes to get Bemidji State into the WCHA. You are not going to get those 8 votes unless you pair them with Omaha, I don't think. Because the Denvers and the Colorado Colleges and the Alaska Anchorages of the world are not going to vote for Bemidji and, say, Northern Michigan. That does nothing for them. They may vote for Bemidji and Nebraska-Omaha.
What about Bemidji only?
You're not going to take Bemidji only. you got to take two teams. It's not going to be an 11-team league.
Why not?
How do you schedule with 11 teams?
Same is their schedule now. St.
Yeah.
Cloud's not playing this week. Wisconsin didn't play last week. CC.
I think it's got to be a package deal.
I'm just saying, you know.
And I ran into, interestingly enough, I ran into some hockey people from Omaha over the weekend.
Were you partying with some Maverick fans?
I was, well, not necessarily. I mean, I'll tell briefly the story. My son was in a youth hockey tournament in Iowa. Played against the Omaha Junior Mavericks.
So you were partying with some Mavericks fans.
Well, we were kind of partying with Maverick fans, absolutely.
Or you were fighting against them in the bleachers like a good hockey parent.
Exactly. No, but I brought up this topic to a few of them and said, hey, why aren't you guys interested in the WCHA? Why does Mike Kemp say, you know, you don't want to come over? And one of them very brusquely said, it's not going to be Mike Kemp's decision in about a month. So,
well, so they don't have that long to make that decision.
Well, what a bit of unrest with the current head coach of the Mavs.
Yeah, I think they're a little restless down there.
And this will shock absolutely no one, but Mike Hastings' name came up very quickly in the conversation.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Hastings,
sure.
For people who don't know, is the assistant coach for Minnesota right now. He is in his first year in that job after spending, I think, 14 years with the Omaha Lancers of the USHL and leading them to a couple of national championships. And as I mentioned in my notebook a couple weeks ago, he was just inducted into the Omaha Sports Hall of Fame.
Nice.
So he is widely rumored to be the next coach of your Mavericks down there in Omaha if a coaching change is made.
If he takes it.
I would think so.
Pay cut.
Yeah, for Minnesota.
I haven't checked, but I think he's renting somewhere in the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah.
How about Nebraska-Omaha this weekend? They play, is it Notre Dame, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
And they're playing at the old rink.
They're playing at the old rink, which has been pretty good to them. I think they get booted from their, the cell phone rink in Omaha, whatever it's named after, communications company rink, because of state wrestling tournament.
Isn't that where the Frozen Four is, communications company rink?
Yeah,
it is, as a matter of fact.
And the regional, the Manchester regional.
Yeah, it's also in.
Oh, yes, it is.
I am supporting Verizon all the way through.
You're all over that.
I'll be attending a regional at Italian Guy Rink. So.
I lost my train of thought.
What was I talking about?
We're talking about the old Nebraska.
Notre Dame, old rink.
Yes. Pretty cool old barn, actually. I mean, it's been, I think it's been there since the 30s. This is the old Civic Auditorium, which actually they called the bullpen for the longest time once UNO moved in there. And, yeah, it's a pretty cool place to watch a game. I mean, they don't build them like that anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of the old bowl arena. It's a good place to watch a game, and, you know, If it's full, or when it's pretty close to capacity, it's pretty loud. I mean, the sound just kind of reverberates through this old building, and it's a pretty fun place to watch a game. I mean, it's a definite throwback to a different era.
Nice. What rink would you compare it to, past or present? If any.
Oh, wow.
That someone might be able to. Pro, I mean, junior, anything.
Wow, that's a good question.
Is it that just unique?
You know, it's. I wouldn't say it's super unique. I mean, it's. It's just a real. Let me think about that.
Is it compared to like the Denver Coliseum?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very similar to that.
And I'm completely talking out of my rear end here because I've never been in either building, but I've heard great things about the Denver Coliseum as being kind of that compact, multi-purpose old place.
Yep.
Okay.
That would be a good comparison. That would be a good comparison. Just, you know, those your old school.
The Odd in Buffalo? I don't know.
The
Odd is different.
It's just kind of your, you know, it doesn't have an upper deck. It just has the seats that go, you know, back about, oh, I don't know, 30, 40 rows. And
where do you enter? Do you enter in the middle of the bowl, on the top of the bowl, on the bottom of the bowl?
You enter in the, it's toward the bottom, but not at the bottom.
Okay. So there's 10 rows that you walk down in.
10, 15, 20 rows. You know, I would compare it, and this is the comparison that I guess I can only make with Jess, is maybe like a shrunken version of the old St. Paul Civic Center.
Okay.
Yeah, Rook and I are out of the loop on that one.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Or maybe it's like your, what's your building in Syracuse like?
The War Memorial?
Onondaga County War Memorial. It's got a stage on it, but it's, yeah, similar-ish.
But just kind of open, there's no real...
There is two decks. You can't get from the upper part to the lower part.
Actually, you know what, here's another way to narrow it down, and, you know, once we get done with this, and I'll go on the web and look up a picture and be completely wrong, but it's not as cavernous as that old Hershey Arena.
Hershey Park Arena, yeah.
Not as cavernous, but similar configuration.
Just bowl, yeah.
Yeah, just kind of bowl, open, big high roof. It's a good place to watch a game.
It really sounds good.
Speaking of arenas, and Bus, you mentioned Notre Dame. Congratulations to the Irish. It's official. They're getting a new barn. They announced it just recently.
And Charlie's getting the play card back.
Yes,
I love
he is.
It.
He's in the press box, apparently.
Nice.
Anyways. So Jess, is this UNO to the WCHA thing? Is this just speculation? Is this?
I think as of right now, it's just speculation. They have not made a. I know they have not made a formal application. Nor has Northern Michigan, but I have it on pretty good authority that they have expressed interest. That interest has not extended itself to a formal invitation or a formal application yet.
It's like sending the email saying my cover letter and resume are on the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's like sending an email saying, hey, what are you doing this weekend?
Want to get together with 11 other teams and play for a trophy?
Yeah. if you're not, you know, I was just bored. I was just wondering what you're doing.
Nothing. Just throwing that out there. So is it basically these Western teams, is it just a travel consideration that...
Sure. If you're Denver or Colorado College, what does Bemidji State add to your conference experience? I don't see that they add much.
Nothing.
But if you package them with Nebraska-Omaha, which is, you know, Denver's proven this in the past, you can get there by bus.
Yes.
It's all of a sudden, you know, it is a bordering state. You know, it's maybe a new rival and something different.
Yeah, don't they drive past Omaha on their way to the airport?
I think so.
All right, Jess, you talked about video game hockey and building teams in the WCHA.
Uh-oh.
And I want to mention a team that I was explaining to Bus and mentioned it to Rook earlier this week as well and kind of jotted a playful note about it in the power rankings. And that's Yale. I mean, this is a team that's red hot. They've really got to go in the tank right now to lose this ECAC hockey regular season title. They're 11-1-1 since the calendar turned to 09. And I saw him play twice on TV, once in person. Check that, three times on TV and once in person, all during this run. And I'm like, man, you know, this team's okay. They're a nice little team, but they never do anything to, like, knock your socks off, or they haven't for me yet. It just, you know, it's like they're okay. You know, they're good. They score, they defend, and there you go. But you never feel, like, uncomfortable when you play against them. And you never feel threatened, I don't think, or in danger. Like, oh, man, we got to watch out for these guys. They're on a roll now. But they just keep winning. And I made the comparison. It's like playing against a computer in video game hockey. You know, you're doing what you want to do. You're kind of just out there wheeling and dealing. And then you lose the game, and you're like, how the heck did this happen? So that's what I think Yale has going for it. And it might be the most, it sounds derogatory, but it might be a fantastic compliment that there is so much balance, they're so even keel, and they just do what needs to be done. And that's not a bad formula for success right there. So,
absolutely not.
I mean, yeah, Bus, you asked me the question, like, when we were doing this, do we have Yale too low? And I said, I don't know. I mean, they got run out of the rink almost by Union. Union played great on Friday night and lost by 2 goals to Yale. So that
top half or that top portion of ECAC hockey is shaping up to be a pretty interesting race. Actually, these last couple weeks have been interesting, too.
Yeah, the races are maybe decided, kind of, because...
Well, I'm just looking ahead to, you know, you're going to end up with Princeton, Yale, Cornell, you know, three teams that are, you know...
Yeah, it's going to be the first time...
I don't know that you can really say that, what you know, one is head and shoulders above the other. There's not really a favorite, I guess, is the point.
No. I think... Cornell gets things back on track and makes it. If those three teams all make it to Albany for the conference finals, conference championship weekend, I think they're all going to the NCAAs.
I would say so.
Which will be the first time since 2005 that three ECAC hockey teams will be in the national tournament. So, and as you look down the rest of that list, St. Lawrence could win the whole tournament. They might get an AQ. They've beaten unbelievable teams. They've had some bad losses, too. But they've got wins over New Hampshire, Vermont, Princeton, Cornell, Yale. They beat all three of those. You know, they played Michigan tough real early in the season. So,
yeah. Yeah, they were I guess
they played Michigan and four guys in black shirts, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they're playing 9-on-5, I heard.
Yeah. But just because they only had 2 power plays to Michigan's 10 doesn't make it a one-sided deal.
No.
But St. Lawrence is dangerous. Are they dangerous enough to win 4 games? Probably not. You know, it's kind of shaping up like a team that can go on that run to the conference title game and then just run out of gas. You know, so they're good. And, yeah, Cornell's got to get things back together. They lost... You know, they've got 1 win in their last 6. They're 1-4-1, have lost 3 in a row. The first of those was a home loss to Princeton, where they were winning 1-0 for half the game. Princeton scored twice in the last minute. They got the extra, attacker goal, and then got the, you know, Cornell turned the puck over after the center ice faceoff. Defenseman fell down. They got a 2-on-1 and scored right before regulation even ended. So, that was a pretty wild ending, and the night prior to that, Princeton had beaten Colgate in overtime. So they're a bounce away from getting 0 points, you know, a bounce and a half a minute, and then they end up getting on the bus back to New Jersey with 4. So it's a huge swing, obviously, for the Tigers. They're a good team. They're real good. You know, maybe they're like Northeastern Rook in the fact that they needed to go last year to that tournament and win those games down the stretch to be better this year. So
see it a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of a good.
I know we're gonna kind of circle back here, but is BC gonna get it together in time to make the tournament to defend their title, or is it a lost cause at this point in time?
I mean, it's almost like what you said about Minnesota earlier. They should be better, and you just don't understand when you watch the team how they cannot be a better team. I mean, they're not drastically different from what they had last year, with the exception of Nathan Garvey, but they added Brock Bradford, and they're just not getting these great years that they had out of some guys last year, I guess, like Joe Whitney, or I can't compare the numbers, but I don't think Ben Smith is having a huge year like he's had.
No, he's way off.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just a lot of people are down, and they're really leaving John Mews out to dry a lot on defense. But, I mean, every time you want to write BC off, I mean, did it twice last year. Or you didn't write them off in the first half when they had that 5 or 6 game winless streak, but late, right around this time last year, is when they started that 5 or 6 game winless streak, and then rebounded by winning their last 9 in the national title. So, I mean, it's, you know, the talent is there for when that team finally does turn it on, that they can do, go out and do crazy things like win a national championship, but there's been no reason to think that they will turn it on just by what we've seen out of them in the last few weeks. I mean, as it was, they lose 6-0 at Connie Forum to U Lowell.
Yeah.
You know, I think they gave up, what, four goals in the third period.
Yeah.
And then the next night, they had to rally from a 4-2 deficit just to make sure they didn't get swept. So it's, if they don't come back and score those last 2 goals of the game to tie Lowell at the Songus Arena, and, you know, the game tire was Brock Bradford's 100th career point, we're sitting here talking about a sweep, you know, Lowell over BC, and BC pretty much being done.
Joe, it's interesting, you know, when you make this comparison like Jeff just did between Minnesota and BC, Joe, when you were describing Yale, Wisconsin popped into my head.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and here's, you know, and granted, I've just seen Wisconsin play 2 games against Minnesota and sweep Minnesota on the road, which is very rare, and get outplayed by Minnesota for the most part, but that Friday night game just sticks in my head still that, you know, at one point the shots are 11-1 Gophers, and, you know, John Mitchell gets tossed in the first period for checking from behind, you know, so they have to kill a 5-minute power play. And, you know, they're outshot by a huge margin, and after one period they're up 1-0, and by the middle of the second they're ahead 3-0, and Minnesota's done. And it's like, how did that happen?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And as good as, you know, Jamie, we talked about Jamie McBain and that defense, they're good, but you know, Jamie McBain is not a, you know, a Jordan Leopold, you know, where he takes over the game completely. He's a great player, but yeah, when you're talking about the Elis, I've got Bucky Badger in my head thinking, yeah, we've got one of those.
Yeah, you know what? Looking back on this Minnesota thing, I just thinking in my head while we're talking about this, will Minnesota and BC be those teams like Mankato last year saying, oh, man, if only for blank we would have been in this? You know, will they have that one regret game to look at? And for BC, it's probably this past weekend, the 6-0 against Lowell. But, I mean, Minnesota, you know.
Minnesota, it might be this past weekend, too, because they thoroughly outplayed Anchorage on Friday night and wound up with 1 point to show for it.
Yeah.
And gave up, you know, just some dumb late goals and yeah, anyway.
They had the 2 losses to Wisconsin, 2 losses. They're 0-2-1 against Minnesota State. I think that's the one that.
Yeah.
You know, 1-2-1.
1-2-1.
Because the Minnesota Showcase was that a non-league game? I trust the game.
No, that was a conference game.
They played 4 conference games against Minnesota State.
Yep.
Wow. Well, there's another reason why you can add an 11th team. You should play a team 4 times in your league.
Why not?
Because.
I think it's weird when you don't play a team 4 times in your season.
I would agree.
That's 2 at home, series. 2 on the road.
Yeah, 2 at home, 2 on the road.
No.
Yes.
No. 1 at home, 1 on the road.
just because.
So you're going to fly to Anchorage for 1 game. Okay.
You bust Yale for 1 game. What's the difference?
Yeah, Yale's 12 miles away, and there's a, you know, Circle K on route. You can get a big gulp or something. I don't know.
How about
I think it's store 24 out there.
Yeah. You know what it is in Iowa? I found this out over the weekend. Come and go.
Yeah.
Wow. Somebody was doing some marketing there.
I thought it was Casey's General Store.
They've got those too.
But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Hockey East has it right. Three games. That's a nice little balance.
Well, yeah, but you can't really do that in the WCHA because
I understand.
Travel.
I understand. You don't have to yell at me.
No, I'm not yelling.
It's like a whole different league.
It is.
Oh, yeah, just ask him.
Or it's the same reason in the AHL that, you know.
You don't go to San Antonio for one.
Rochester doesn't go to Manitoba for one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is podcast history. Bus brought up the American Hockey League before I did.
And I did it twice. I said that the Islanders were going to get demoted.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Islanders would have gotten demoted to Lowell years ago when they were the Loch Monsters, but now Lowell's stuck with the Devils, which is
so who would move up then? Who's good in the...
Hershey's ridiculous, but that's because the Caps are ridiculous.
Gotcha.
I saw the Bears last night. Hershey had 12 guys out of their 19, you know, the 18 skaters and the goalie. 12 guys have been up with the Caps this year.
Speaking of the AHL,
and they got Carl Elsner sent down today.
your favorite logo, I saw it this past weekend. The Pee Wee team from Des Moines is the Iowa Junior Chops.
Chops,
nice
with that big pig logo on the sweater.
Rabbit pig,
yeah,
it is pretty fantastic.
Man bear pig.
That should be their logo.
It should.
I'd get that sweater.
Play at the like Gore Civic Center or something.
I think we could do a whole podcast. Cycling back to about 5 minutes ago on just Minnesota and BC.
Oh yeah.
Probably could.
They're going to end up playing
Minnesota on TV all the time. I watch Minnesota on TV all the time, and I honestly I don't care what happens in the games. I just watch them for entertainment. I watch them to listen to Woog and Frank.
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
Oh, they're ridiculous and. The Gophers just frustrate me to no end. They're like a line and a half team. Got two good defensemen, two okay defensemen. The goalie is
here and there.
He's got the yips, I think.
He does.
The yips is a good thing for you.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
they need a whole line of yips.
I thought he played for Harvard.
No, that's Dew.
Kevin Dew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whose father is named Lou.
Lou Dew.
Lou Dew.
That's not a joke, is it?
It's not a joke. Pride of Spruce Crew of Alberta.
Yeah. Oh. Lou Dew. Anyways, enough on the Gophers.
I thought that was a neighborhood in Denver. Oh, no, that's Lodo.
That's Lodo.
Here's another thing.
Talking about
the difference between the WCHA, and I'm like, why can't you play just one game? Quinnipiac and Yale are not travel partners in the ECAC. Quinnipiac's going to play there and then have to go down to Princeton this weekend. That's fantastic.
And yeah, geographically, how far apart?
Less than 30 miles.
Oh, I would say, yeah.
Everywhere in Connecticut's less than 30 miles apart.
East Coast traffic, that's like 2 hours then?
No, there's no traffic. Well, the southern part of Connecticut has the traffic. But.
Unless there's that, unless you have that crazed chimpanzee on the loose.
Oh, man.
That'll tie up traffic.
Yeah.
And probably chop off your hands.
What town is Quinnipiac located in?
It's in Hamden.
Hamden?
Hamden, Connecticut.
Oh, Hamden and New Haven are like 8 miles apart. I'm looking at a map right now.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, what are you?
They're going to sleep in their own beds.
Rand McNally.
No, Rand Pecknold. Rand Pecknold. All right. Any more deterioration, fellas?
I thought we were going deeper into the chimpanzee, but no, we're not.
They had to shoot it.
Had to shoot the chimpanzee?
As great of a companion as it was, it still was wearing a diaper.
You think that cop driving home tonight is listening to Shock the Monkey on his iPod?
I don't think so.
I got to watch the news. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you didn't hear about this? This is
no.
It's kind of sad. The woman got attacked by a chimpanzee. And apparently he was a star. He'd been in commercials and stuff.
Yeah, he was in an Old Navy commercial. And
Where was this? In Connecticut?
It was in Stamford,
Connecticut. Hey, Super Bowl commercials are huge for chimps that can act. Let's face it.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, the chimp, this woman, a friend of the man who owned the chimp, and it had him since the chimp was, what, like 3 days old or something?
Sure. Sure.
Literally had raised it in his home. can we
Can we get that guy on the podcast?
Can we say
he has some meaningful life stories to tell?
Can we say that the chimp went ape?
We can say that.
Okay. Just ape, not ape something else.
Not ape. Not ape S.
You don't say pointy.
I'm just thinking the same thing.
We have our own shorthand now.
Yeah.
He went ape PT.
he went ape 2. Let's put it that way. Anyways.
Ape dope.
Tried to basically attack this woman and.
Where?
In her face, I heard.
No, like at the, like.
Oh, at this home in Connecticut. No, it was at the woman's house in Connecticut, or at the trainer's house.
Yeah.
So the lady came over just to say hi, or what?
Yeah,
no, she came over to help with the chimp, because they were having problems with it.
Oh.
But I mean, you know, the downer of it is they said this woman's going to need, like, plastic surgery or something, because I guess she got bit up pretty bad.
Well,
she was a veterinarian of sorts, or an animal.
I don't think so. I think she was just a friend. You know, it's like the ape version of my dog ran away. Can you help me find it?
This is a good story.
And this chimp had a prior too. It was in trouble with the law in 2003. It bounced out of a car and I guess started running all over town. I mean, this
chimp was a bad thing.
Chimps.
Do they have juvie for chimps?
Was he tried as an adult chimp on his first offense?
He was given the death penalty today.
somebody called him a knuckle dragger, and he just snapped.
Okay. With that, we'd like to thank you for listening to another InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. Please visit InsideCollegeHockey.com. Signing off for Jess Myers, Mike Idlebis, and Jeff Howe, this is Joe Gladyszewski.